Hey friends, it's officially the new year, which means it's the perfect time to start that healthy eating routine that you've been craving. Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes, so you can fuel and feel great no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, perfect for any active, busy lifestyle, and has 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week. And it's easy to pick your meals tailored to your goals, and you can choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto. Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfast, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. So reach your goals this year with ingredients you can trust and convenience that can't be beat. Eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off and use code barbknowsbest50off to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's code BARBKNOWSBEST50OFF at factormeals.com/BARBKNOWSBEST50OFF to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
I bet you there was some good that took place in 2024. Or there was some lightheartedness or joy or unexpected happiness. But oftentimes the bad tends to overweigh or outweigh the good. Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host, and I am yet again sitting here with my mother, Barb, and we're so excited to be chatting with you all on this very wonky week between holidays, teetering at the end of 2024. Hello, Mother.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you doing in this wonky time of year?
I know this week between holidays, it always has you feeling like it is a little bit wonky. And
well, it's like, what are we doing?
Don't even quite know where how to settle or...
I mean... It's like a waiting game, kind of, you know, a lot of people are off, school is out, holidays, vacations, people aren't like working as much or schedules are different. And like, we're sensing the end of a huge chapter of life, but the new isn't here yet. And it's like limbo of, it's the annual limbo of life.
And it's so interesting that you're saying that. I'm interrupting you and I'm so sorry because I don't like to do that. But that's why this is my favorite week of the year.
Interesting. You like a limbo?
I love it when I feel like this week of the year, right before New Year's, is like I don't have any expectations of myself. I don't have expectations of anyone. It just feels like a week off. And I don't know why. I don't know how to describe it any better than that, but it just feels like I have zero pressure.
I was going to say you're out of the pressure cooker.
Yeah, it feels like I'm out of the pressure cooker, but it also feels like a time for reflection for me. It's a time that I really spend, you know, I have my practice all year long. Obviously, I do my meditation and do my reflecting and all that all year long as part of my day. But this particular week, it feels like almost like a retreat for me. Mm-hmm. I go in reflection longer, or I am easier on myself. I'm very non-judgmental. It's just a very interesting week for me.
Like you become the best version of yourself for the last 7 days of the year.
I love that you just said it that way. It just like kind of take time. Mm-hmm. I don't feel rushed. I don't feel like I have to produce or anything. It just feels like a time to really go into some reflection. because I really like to think of the new year. You know me, I don't like any unfinished business.
Yes.
I mean, I shouldn't say I don't like it, but I really strive to end a year and let the year stay in the year and not carry it over to the new year.
Yeah, that's been I'll bookmark that for when we dive into the meat of the episode, but yes, continue.
Yeah, that's just how it is. And I like to look at, and you've talked about this in your writings, I think often at the end of a year, that it, you know, just to try to, not to try to, like to set the intention of stepping into the new year with a clean slate.
Yeah.
Allowing the past to be in the past and reflecting on all the things maybe that were learned or the things that went well, the things that didn't go well, all of that stuff. And then instead of jumping into the future and thinking of all that, you just kind of set some intentions and you can step into the new year, you know, feeling grounded and free, kind of free to create whatever it is we choose to create for a new year.
Yes. Very interesting.
So to kind of set the stage for what we're going to talk about in this episode.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're listening to this episode on its actual drop date, it will be New Year's Eve, but obviously you can listen to this at any time. But, you know, this end of the year limbo, you love it. I have issues with it. You know, I tend to feel like, well, no, sorry. I do love it too for what you said. I feel like it's quiet, slowed down, the pressure cooker is off. But I also feel like this weird energy of what has been and what is not yet. And like you're kind of marinating in this limbo of uncertainty, which limbos for me in my life in general have always been a frustration. However, I enjoyed your perspective and maybe I will consider that for 2025's limbo week. Well, however,
I think, let me just say something. You said uncertainty, which I think is a very key word. And that's why I'm so grateful and really happy that this episode is going to be about what we can do that week between Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and all of the holidays that are happening prior to the end of the year and the new year.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm loving about this episode. And I'm kind of really, 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 really excited about it is that how can we learn to embrace uncertainty? Because everything in life is uncertain. Nothing is a given. So I like that you use that word. Mm-hmm. And that it kind of gives you a pause. You said that the uncertainty of it can be a little wonky for you, to use your word you said, and feel like you're in limbo. So I love that. And I love that's why we're going to talk about what can we do during this week.
Yeah. So, you know, a new year. What?
No, I just said
You know. Did I say that a bunch of times?
No. It was just cute. The look on your face was, okay, I can't wait to see how you're going to get me to change my mind about this week between holidays and New Year's is wonky. Yep. It's just cute. You look like you have a little bit of a reservation. So
No.
I'm happy about this.
I love it. And I love a reframe, especially for the positive. So, you know, on this last day of the year, these final moments of 2024, and even just no matter when you're listening to this, if it's already 2025, greetings from the future. We wanted to talk today about reflection and contemplation and the power of looking back so that you can figure out where you want to go forward. And despite everything that we've just said for the past 5 minutes or whatever, I do find these last days of the year powerful. Because it's a fertile breeding ground for what's to come. And in these moments of the in-between, the quiet time, you know, if you're off of work or whatever, it is a great ritual to take time to reflect on the past 12 months of 2024 and really acknowledge what has happened, what has been good, what has maybe been not so good, the successes, the failures, the highs and the lows, and the lessons that are learned. Because we have a tendency to lump a year together. And I'm not calling you out, Mom, but I am calling you out, Mom, because we've had this conversation quite a few times. in these past few months of you saying 2024 has been such a hard year. This year has not gone how I wanted it to. Or this year has not been what I expected. And I agree. You've personally had challenges, you and I collectively with the world, all the things. Not easy. However, I think a lot of us have the tendency to lump it in, like this is the worst year. But I would encourage everyone, if you're in that boat, to even do this practice even more, because thinking about the things that I don't have or don't have yet instead of the things that I do, and just, oh, maybe next year, maybe next year, maybe next year, maybe next year I'll have this or that. And this is a great practice to counteract that, because even if there are things that you're working towards or trying to create for your lives, you've done some stuff in the past 12 months. We know that. So let's think about it and honor it. And even if it doesn't feel like a huge win or a success, you moved yourself forward in some way, shape, or form. You took a step, you made a choice, you took an action. Maybe it was scary, and you deserve to honor yourself for whatever way you showed up for your life in 2024. So I hope that this episode can be the encouragement or the gentle nudge to be proud of yourself, but to also remember what all you've been through, what you've learned, and what you've accomplished in these past 12 months.
I love that, Michelle. That's so beautiful.
You talk so long, you lost your voice.
I love that. It's so beautiful because it's true. And I think for me, reflection is so vitally important in life.
It's part of your practice.
It's part of my practice. I reflect every single night before I go to sleep. So reflection is really critical for us to learn and to grow and to understand. But even more than that, I mean, at the end of the year, it really is a deep understanding of, you know, what happened, how did it go? You know, what did I learn and all of the things. But when I reflect every day at night before I go to sleep, the most powerful part of it is being able to let go. Mm. And I think that's one of the more difficult things. So
that's a good point.
Being able to just let the day be in the day. So as I reflect at night, I let the day be in the day as I go to sleep once I've reflected on how the day went. And I think that that's really important. And if you think about that in the whole scheme of 365 days and then the end of the year, like we're talking on this episode, can we let the year be in the year and then start the year fresh, 2025? And for me, in doing all of this and looking at this past week as we, you know, embrace 2025 tomorrow, what I noticed the most, and as you said earlier, that I said to you often this year, wow, this has been a really difficult year. And I didn't think it was going to be so difficult because last year was so critically difficult, going right through the divorce and just all of the things last year. I thought, oh my gosh, I am ready to go to 2024. And as I reflected back this week and looking at what made me say that, why 2024 was so difficult, the greatest thing that I learned this year is that I don't have any control over outcomes. Mm-hmm. I only have control over what I decide to intend for my life, what I decided to intend for 2024, what I thought about our work, and all of the things, and having all of the excitement and the, you know, all the tools that we needed, you know, to do things in our work. But we can do all the work that's necessary.
Right.
But we can never have total control over how the outcome is going to be.
You just learned that this year?
And so here's what I wanted to say about that. That's what's so funny. When, as Michelle and I are talking during this, and I hope this resonates for you, don't be so hard on yourself if you're learning the same lesson over and over and over.
I was going to say, I know you didn't just learn that because you've been telling me this my whole life.
But I
sense maybe you've learned it on a deeper or a different level.
Exactly. And that's what I really am so excited about this episode, because we can be really hard on ourselves, as you said earlier. We can be so hard on ourselves. I can be so hard on myself.
I witnessed that.
So in this idea that whatever, being gentle with yourself for sure, but understanding that whenever we're learning something in the day, in the week, in the year, it's probably something that we already had a clue about, or that we already had learned some version of it in the past. So when it comes up again, like this has come up again for me as I reflected back, I thought, oh my gosh, in every moment that I thought life was so difficult this year, it was because the outcome wasn't what I had hoped for or what I expected. You know, we all have expectations.
Yeah.
Or what I hope for is the way I always like to phrase it, because we hope for this, but to have the expectation of it, we don't know because we don't have control. So that's my biggest aha moment this year. And what I love about sharing this with all of you is that it's something that, yes, of course I had learned it before. And yes, of course I had a version of it before. And yes, of course I've had it as I go to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I went through some of these iterations all year long saying, oh my gosh, this sure didn't work out the way that I had planned. And there were several times during the year where I was crying or I was so frustrated and feeling so stressed that there were moments where I thought, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to do. And so as I think about it now in speaking it today, but also in my reflection, I thought, because this is life and we never know what's going to happen, but we can assume the stance of least resistance. We can do all of the things that we think that we need to do. And then I think the hardest step is not micromanaging it, not making sure it's all going to go. And now we realize I was trying to micromanage and I was trying to make sure everything mm-hmm. went. Even though I went through all the preparatory steps and did all the things that I needed to do to hopefully have the outcome that I wanted. But it didn't work out that way in many, many situations in my life this year. So I think I put a lot of pressure on myself.
Yeah, I know I you blamed yourself for a lot of these things not unfolding in the way that you thought that they would or that you wanted them to.
Yeah.
Like you should have known better, done better. And that's, I think, kind of like a side lesson from this, that if things don't go your way or like you planned or hoped, it's not that you necessarily did something wrong or that you made the wrong choice. It's just sometimes things don't work out.
Right.
And it's not, you know, a life-shattering judgment about who you are as a person.
Exactly. And you always say, trust your timing. You know, not only trust the timing of life and our individual lives, but trust the whole world, trust the energy out there, trust the universe, trust what's happening. That, you know, we talked about this in one episode, I think, before, that sometimes not getting what we wish for or what we hope for or what we thought could happen can turn out to be one of our greatest blessings. And as I've done this reflection, I've thought, you know, ending the year, I feel like the year is ending on a good note. I mean, I always, even no matter how hard it is, you know, looking at the gratitude for some of the, as you said, Michelle, looking back, and yeah, we've all had some good things happen, but sometimes the harder things overshadow. So I think just really understanding that when things don't go your way, don't be hard on yourself. Try really hard. Say, okay, this was really hard. But that doesn't mean don't feel all the feelings. That's why I wanted to share this.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I was crying sometimes. I was just so hard on myself sometimes.
Yep.
And I think it's really important, you said that, to honor yourself, honor ourselves, and keeping the faith, you know, having the hope that all of the things that I have planned, all the stages and the steps that I've taken are going to turn out, but having the hope. So as you look back on your life, I'm hoping that all of you kind of take this time to reflect. Really look back on all of the 365 days and really try to make an effort to, if you got five things that didn't go so well, what are five things that you learned? And maybe what are five things that were fantastic?
Mm-hmm.
Or what are five things that brought you joy?
Yeah.
And when I look back on this 365 days, I didn't do enough things that were fun.
You've been talking about this to me a lot lately about
yeah,
fun.
And I think I brought it up in one of the other episodes too. So this year on my intentions for 2025 are some things that'll bring some fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some things that brought joy. I've had some things that brought happiness, but
well, I think that'll be a whole episode about fun because mm-hmm. you've had some really interesting insights about your age or generation versus we were talking to one of our Gen Z colleague who has a totally different viewpoint about fun. And I think it's an interesting conversation that I think we're going to have in an upcoming episode. But yeah, I have heard you talk about that. And I think it is a great idea to look back on the 365 days. I mean,
as someone who is currently in the throes of editing a book that is a 365-day book, my book that will be out in 2025, it has made me supremely, keenly aware of just how many days are 365. You know, I thought, like, this will be an easier, and I'm saying easy with quotes around it, book to write, because it's not your typical style of book. You know, the long form, fully fleshed out chapters and thoughts, short snippets of ideas. And which is true. Yeah,
kind of words to live by, which is what I love.
Of course, it's true. But there are 365 days, a lot of days.
It's a lot.
And as you all know, if you follow me on social media, I've been sharing my editing process. And like, just, I'm in my fourth round, and it's like, I'm not going to do the quick math of what 4 times 365 days is. But just, it's like so many days. But I say all that to say that there's a lot packed into 12 months, to 1 year. And I do think it's true that we tend to overlook a lot of it. A lot of the mundane, a lot of the small, tiny joys that we talk about on the show, because the bad or the inconvenient or the disappointing tends to outweigh it. So like, make it a challenge to try and remember like an obscure day in the year, or even, you know, I have my computer sitting here. Go to your calendar on your computer and like randomly scroll to a day and like see what happened on that day and reflect. I don't know. Just make it fun.
I like that.
Cause there's a lot that we don't remember. Because the trauma and the drama outweighs it all. So try and make it fun and be curious as to what has happened in the past 12 months. And be kind with yourself as well. Because I do know, Mom, that you have been super hard on yourself this year for the challenges that you've faced and that we've faced in our lives. And we don't need to be so harsh on ourselves. The world is harsh. Life is harsh. Society is harsh. We don't need to add on to it. So yeah. Be gentle.
It's so true. It's so true. And I think if you're feeling, sometimes we get into a place of feeling sorry for ourselves, or, oh my gosh, I must be the only one going through
for
this.
Sure.
This is so hard. And I think just remembering, one of the things that really came to me in this reflection time was remembering that no one goes through life unscathed. And you say that quite often in our work. And I think it's nice to remember that we're all in this boat called life together. And it's difficult. It's really, really difficult. And for some, it's unimaginably difficult. And so if we can look at it as this is happening, and what is one step that I can do? And that's why I really, especially in this reflection period, because I was so hard on myself and thinking, oh my gosh, I just did all this and it didn't work out. What am I going to do? I really love this quote by Martin Luther King Jr. And probably all of you have seen it in some version or seen it somewhere, because it's so powerful. And as you're going from 2024 to 2025 tomorrow, since this is on New Year's Eve, think about this for a moment, just that you don't have to have it all figured out, and you don't have to have it all ready to go. Because I can be that person sometimes, like, okay, New Year's coming, I gotta be ready, set, go. Mm-hmm. And Martin Luther King Jr. says this: take the first step in faith. And I've been wearing a faith necklace for about 6 months out of this year, I think. And it really has helped me a lot, remembering, having faith that my work is not up to me as to what the outcome is, but I just need to show up every day and do the best I can. So he says, take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. So if life is feeling overwhelming as we end this year, or if you're not quite sure what 2025 is going to bring, or what you even want to do. I mean, we don't have to have it all figured out. Mm-hmm. I think that was the other thing I'm thinking. Sometimes it can be just a surprise. Just even as I was thinking about 2025, I thought, just having the intention that I'm going to show up every day in faith and take the first step is enough. I feel like I know I put a lot of pressure on myself.
Yes.
And so I feel like in general, we as humans tend to put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And just imagine if we could step into 2025, having the faith that if we show up being just the best version of ourselves that particular day, it's enough. Mm-hmm. Like allowing yourself to be enough. You know, as you said, Michelle, honoring who you are, honoring what you're doing, honoring where you are, allowing yourself to just be in that moment, honoring yourself and taking that first step. And we don't have to understand everything. We don't have to understand the timing of life. You know, I think the other big lesson I learned, besides that I don't have control over the outcomes of my work. It's so funny that I'm even saying that. So learning that change is the only true constant in life, that everything is going to change.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we know all of this already, but when you, it's kind of like when you know it, but then you go deeper and know it even deeper, and then you know it even deeper, and then you know it even deeper. And so the other thing I was going to say though, is what I actually learned again. And what I'm loving about this is when I was crying one day so much, you know, feeling like I had done everything that I could do, but I still wasn't okay with what the outcome was. And I was crying, and it hit me during this reflection period, but it also hit me that night as I was going to bed. Barbara, no feeling is final. This too shall pass. Mm-hmm. And we learn and relearn and learn and relearn this every single day, don't we?
Yep.
I mean, all of you listening, we learn this every day. No feeling is final. No feeling has the power to name who we are. And we know this. We know this for sure, that the good feelings and the bad feelings and the hard feelings, everything is going to shift. And so I think if we hold on to things too long, or we try to lament it or feel like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, if we just have the faith, that's why I love that quote of his so much. If we just have the faith, the light will come in, even if it's just through a teeny, 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 tiny crack. Mm-hmm. And then we wake up the next morning, as I've always said on the show, you wake up the next morning and before you step out of bed, thank you for the gift of this new day. So as you kind of move into 2025, wouldn't it be kind of cool that you go to bed tonight, mm-hmm. being New Year's Eve in the United States, in this hemisphere, this area?
Well, it's New Year's Eve everywhere, isn't it?
Well, not on this particular day, maybe, right?
Now we're getting into geography.
I know.
Strong suit.
I know. I was really getting into geography. But no, can you imagine going to sleep on New Year's Eve and then waking up the next morning on January 1st and saying, thank you for the gift of this new life. Thank you for the gift of this new year. Thank you for the gift of this new day. Mm-hmm. Just that idea of beginning and setting the intention of a new year with gratitude.
I love it.
With gratefulness that we woke up.
I love it. So to kind of, what's the word?
Make sense of everything
just said. Actually, to add a different perspective. What was interesting listening to you talk about all of this is I've started to notice a trend at the start of a new year or at the end of a year where we, like we've discussed, lump in or overgeneralize a year, the worst year ever, and then say, you know, 2025 is going to be my year. I've said 2024, 2023, 2022, 2004, like 2015. 2015 is going to be my year. I can hear myself saying that to my friends in the past after challenging years. And it's like this cycle where we think that the year that has passed is so bad and that this year that is coming is going to be the year in shining armor that like saves the day of our lives. And I'm just wondering if there is, rather than being so black and white about a calendar year of our lives, would it be helpful to approach a new year not as the potential to be the best year of our lives, but just a year that breeds possibility and uncertainty in a good way? Because I know that for you in this past year, you had a lot of high hopes for 2024. And I think those high hopes and expectations, like you said, then added onto your pain when things didn't go your way. And I know in the past where I've thought that a new year is going to be my year and I'm going to get and achieve all of the things that I want. And then when they don't happen, I'm like, what the heck? So for me, I feel like I'm approaching the new year with less expectation and just curiosity for what 2025 has in store. You know, I have excitements for things that we have planned on this show. There's some updates coming to the show, which we're excited to share with you all in the near future. My book is on the horizon. Lots of fun things. But I feel like I'm keeping myself even keeled as to what to expect. So I'm excited to see how that goes.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I love that. I love that. The idea of...
I don't need it to be the best year of my life. I just want it to be...
Just want to show
fulfilling.
Up and do... Yeah, and do the best. You know, show up every day. You know, doing the best that you can in that moment.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think that's really beautiful, Michelle. The idea that we can step into life and really embrace it for whatever's happening in the day, even though it is difficult, and try not to be overwhelmed by it. I think I allowed myself in many instances to get kind of overwhelmed. And when we're talking about so many things, we had several things. It's not like the whole year was, you know, a disaster, but one of the things that continued to be a real difficult part was, you all know that in February, Michelle was flooded out of her place from a water flood, and you know,
a water flood.
I don't even know how to say it.
Floods are water.
Because that was the most. And
I had
so,
a flood in my place.
Yeah, she had a flood in her place, so we had to move out.
Which it is still not fixed to this day.
No, not even close. So we're still now looking at going into 2025, still not here, and hardly anything has been done. So that the idea that you could be out for that long never crossed my mind. And just thinking about the idea of that was making me a little bit crazy during 2024. How could this be?
And but unfinished here, business. You hate taking
unfinished business. So, but now in looking at it and having this reflection time going into 2025, it is what it is.
Right.
You know, there's nothing that I can do about it. And taking my time, taking my precious energy and taking my time thinking about and saying, oh my gosh, this isn't fair, or this isn't right, or what's going on, and how can this be? And just having all those feelings and all those, you know, thoughts that how could this be happening? I mean, it is what it is. And so I know that that's a difficult concept, I think. Sometimes it takes reflection to look and think, okay, now, how am I going to now do this differently? And I think that's the beauty of having a reflection time and having this, for me, thinking that this week is a downtime, you know, how can I do this differently? Because I certainly don't want to act in some ways that I acted in 2024 of feeling like it at the mercy of the external world. And how can this be?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really, really important to have the reflection, but then also be able to, that's why I love you using the word curiosity, you know, using the words uncertainty. It's kind of embracing what is.
Yeah.
So, sometimes in 2024, I lost sight of actually what life is. And life is uncertain. And if we can have some sense of curiosity about it. And I think playfulness.
For sure.
There's a part of me that lost some of my playfulness this year. I was a little bit too serious. So I always say, be serious about the life that you want to live. You know, your dreams, your desires, your wishes, your values, all of those things, but don't take yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
And there were too many times in 2024 where I took myself too seriously. So those are the things that I feel like I've learned this year about myself. And we always say, become the scientist of your own life. And so for me, if you've never done this before, you've never, you've never been the scientist of your life. I am constantly looking at myself, becoming aware, trying to understand what's happening. I'm talking to myself all the time, and I'm not suggesting that y'all need to do that. But what I am suggesting is if you want to take a little step into becoming a little bit of a scientist or a researcher of your own life, it's so fascinating to actually really look at your life for a day as a with some detachment. Mm-hmm. And just say, wow, Barb, you reacted this way to the fact that now you're still out, Michelle's still out of her place, and it's October of 2024, or this is how you reacted. But Barb, you know that life is unpredictable. You know that life is uncertain. What if you could add a little bit of playfulness there or a little curiosity there?
Right.
So just some tips that I've learned now about myself this year of how we can not take ourselves so seriously and not be such a burden for ourselves. We actually are a burden. I felt like I was a burden for myself. And I know you felt like I was a heavy burden sometimes because you could feel it, I think, in my energy sometimes, and you could feel it on my face. And I say all of this to say, I felt happy a lot of times this year too. And we accomplished a lot this year. And I'm so excited about your book. And I'm so excited about the programming. I'm so excited about some new hires that we did this year. I am overjoyed with so much that we have planned and so much that we have done and set the groundwork for 2025. So I don't want this to sound like 2024 was just a ditch of a year.
Well,
like
that's the point. There's
exactly
high highs and low lows and things in between. And interestingly enough, where you were saying that you didn't want to be a burden to yourself, what's interesting about this past year, I feel from my perspective, and I think yours too, is that we both had to learn to choose ourselves. Even when it's hard.
I'm going to clap for that one. That's fantastic, Michelle.
And for people pleaser, do you consider yourself a people pleaser?
No,
I don't think so. I'm a people pleaser.
No, I think choose ourselves.
But I was going to say, for at least from my experience, as someone who is unpacking people pleasing, it's not in... Fly just flew in front of my face. It's not in my nature to... choose myself, especially if it's going to be challenging to do so or disappointing to someone else to do so. And I feel like we had a lot of situations this year where we had to choose ourselves or choose like the best interest of our work or, you know, really not be so passive and just take things. And not in like a resistant, like not accepting reality, but in the face of like things not being right, rather than just allowing it, like pushing back a little or speaking out or saying like, no, I'm not going to accept that and I won't tolerate that or this doesn't work for me. That's been like a huge pattern for us this year. You know, we've had a lot of crazy things happening. The flood, as you all can imagine, you know, like the insurance process has been long and winding. And we really had to advocate for ourselves and what, you know, we think we're deserving in this situation. And it's mostly in my nature to just be like, I'll take what I can get. And there's been a lot of instances where, no, we can do that, but is that in our best interest to just take what we can get? No. Is it going to be uncomfortable to push back? Yeah, super uncomfortable. But it is very empowering and oddly gratifying to actually stand up for yourself and to speak up for yourself and to advocate for your needs when you need them, even if it's uncomfortable. Because being a doormat or being a pushover, or letting yourself get walked all over by people, places, institutions is a really crummy feeling. And I know I've let myself be in that position in a lot of instances in my life. And so I do feel like 2024 was the year that called on me, but called on us maybe even collectively in the global sphere, to be more proactive and not accepting of injustices and things that just aren't right in, you know, instances big and small.
I love that, Michelle. I love that so much, because what I heard you say and what I learned as well is that when things are going against what we value and what matters most to us, we were really called a lot to step up mm-hmm. in many situations. And I think it's hard. So if any of you listening were called this year to step up, you know, to be in alignment with your values, to be in alignment with what you feel is just or correct, or you had to, as Michelle called it, push back, it's hard. So if you're feeling like you had to, that happened for you this year, and that was part of what made life so hard, you're exactly right. I love what you just said. Honor yourself, pat yourself on the back and say, you know what, this was a hard year, but I really had to step up and advocate for myself. I had to choose myself. And that's why I was clapping for you when you said choose yourself. Mm-hmm. Because in every instance that I'm talking about for myself that was hard, I got the hit inside of me that said, no, you're not just going to do this. In every aspect of my life, you're going to step up. You're going to stay in alignment with what you value most. And so sometimes staying in alignment with your values means the outcome doesn't necessarily always come in that moment that you're hoping for, that you had laid out for yourself, but it will. What I believe strongly, and that's how I feel going into 2025, that being in alignment with who you are and the values that matter most to you can make life difficult sometimes. But mm-hmm. trusting the timing, knowing that in the end, it is where you want to be. I don't know what that's going to look like for 2025. I have some ideas of what I hope and have faith that it will look like, but I don't actually know it, but I just have faith.
None of us can know.
Exactly. That's the uncertainty. And I think I like to just talk about a little bit that word curiosity, like how can we have a little bit of curiosity that when we are advocating for ourselves, when we are stepping up and saying, no, this is not okay. This doesn't work for me. I said that a lot this year.
Yes, you did.
This doesn't work for me. I need to pivot. I'm sorry, but I'm going to be pivoting, or I'm going to be going a different direction than what it is that looks like this is where you thought I might be intending to go. And that's hard. And it can feel like it sets you back. That's how I felt a little bit this year in several instances that I was being set back. Mm-hmm. But as I reflected and looked, we're ending this year. I feel we're ending this year on a high note. And that sounds kind of weird after everything that I've just said, but it feels good.
Yeah, that was an unexpected sentence.
Well, because you know what? At the end of the day, I do feel we did advocate for ourselves. We did step up. We stayed in alignment with our values and what we believe in most. I love the work that we're doing. I love everything about our lives. And because you're out of your place to live and because some of these situations didn't work out the way that we had planned or that we had hoped, doesn't mean that life has turned against us. It means that that just wasn't the path that we were supposed to be taking this year. And let's see and be curious about, I'm wondering, I've got these intentions that I have set for 2025. I'm wondering what path is going to be mine for 2025 in this intention setting process. And I think just trusting, you know, I'm a very big believer in just trusting and doing the work and allowing yourself to go with the flow of life. And this year I pushed back a little bit. I don't want to say too hard, but I pushed back in being hard on myself. It's kind of like I was trusting that life, you know, the things where like your place and just other things in life that didn't turn out. And I was thinking I remember going to bed one night thinking, what did I do wrong? What is wrong with me? And then this voice said, nothing's wrong with you. This is just how this turned out. Now wake up tomorrow morning. And as Martin Luther King Jr. said, you don't need to see the whole staircase, take the next step.
Right. And I will say there's a perspective of that where, you know, that's been helpful for me, at least through this whole house flood situation, that truthfully, I would have never expected it to have been this long of a journey, to where we've been living together for almost a year. And I think that there were lots of opportunities in this particular situation for me to feel resentful and annoyed and frustrated, which I've felt for sure. But the reframe or the shift about this, and this can go for any aspect of your life where you feel like maybe a chapter is lasting too long or you're waiting for something to change or something like that. You know, I've been leaning on this notion that I know that this will come to an end. I know that this is not going to last forever. And, you know, how is it that me at 39 years old and you at 60 something are living together? You know, it's very like we're kind of reliving my childhood and having nice experiences in a sense. And what an opportunity that probably won't happen again, you know, or it could, but I'm just saying I've tried to embrace that this is a temporary situation, that how can I, you know, cherish that I'm getting to spend so much time, not to be cheesy. I see you smiling over there.
No, I love it. I love it.
That I can be with you and have this experience and, you know, not common.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying all of this to say that somehow I have like this evolved, elevated perspective about living with my mom at this time of my life, but I'm just saying that it's been really helpful for me to reframe this long, winding journey of insurance and mold and construction and delays and rules and blah, 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 blah. And judgments I have for myself. Oh, I'm living with my mom at 39. That's nice. My cat and I are living in your guest bedroom. That's cute. When I went to my high school 20th reunion a few months ago, I like got dressed in my room and then went into your room and said, "Hey mom, how do I look?" And then, you know, got in my car and you waved me goodbye in the driveway. And I was like, wow, nothing has changed. I did this in high school and I'm doing it in my 20-year reunion. And that made me feel weird, but also it was cool. Yeah. So, you know, the judgment creeps in and I'm like, no, it's a blessing and I'm going to embrace it.
I love that you just shared that because that is one of the other things that I wanted
even
to say.
Even your dress is too short, Michelle. Maybe you should wear something else. And I was wow, we have not changed at all.
I love that you shared this because that was one of the things as I was reflecting, I'm thinking similar to what you just said, thinking when in life at 68 years old, would I have ever imagined that I would be living with my daughter at this temporary time in life? And what a, not only what a blessing that is, but actually what it's, talk about a reframe and thinking that, oh my gosh, you've been out of your place for almost a year. It's actually that whole idea that the current state that we are in right now is the best possible place that we could be, and how wonderful that is to be able to share these close quarters with each other as a mother, as a mother daughter, when you're right, the idea of that ever happening again probably is very slim to none.
I mean, we don't know, but it's just not.
No, but it's embracing the uncertainty of life.
It'll never be like this again.
No, and having the curiosity. So really knowing that this moment in time is this moment in time.
And you know, and really my cat's 18. You feed her breakfast in the morning, which she loves because you're such an early riser.
It's good. It's a win-win.
Charlotte is a, you know,
it's a win-win.
It's a chapter that will not be around forever.
And it's been beautiful. You know, you wrote something that I wanted to share with you that I love. And
can't
I think
wait.
This could be helpful as well in this process and talking about how we can step into a new year. You said the second that you can love and accept yourself in your current state is the second you create the space to be the best you possible.
I wrote that?
Yes.
In a blog?
Yes.
Huh.
I think like in 2013 or something like that.
Wow. Old.
And I love
vintage,
this.
Vintage, Michelle.
I love this so much. The second that you can love and accept yourself in your current state, which is what you're talking about right now. Our current state is that we live together. You're 39, I'm 68. Is the second you create the space to be the best you possible. Mm-hmm. Isn't that, I have goosebumps. Isn't that beautiful? So how can we, I think as for me, as I close up my part of this episode and, you know, next time you hear from us, it'll be 2025. How, maybe just setting the intention that I want to accept and love myself in my current state right now. Mm-hmm. How can I embrace who I am, where I am, what I am? What are my values? What do I love? What do I love to do? What are some fun things about me? What are some beautiful things about me? And how can I just accept myself completely in my current state?
Well, it's that Eckhart Tolle quote, you know, accept the present moment
as if
you had chosen it.
Yeah. But I love what you said is the second you create, like when you accept yourself completely, you literally are creating the space. There's no judgments. There's no comparisons. There's no fixing. I got to fix myself because I'm not the perfect person that I'm supposed to be, or I haven't accomplished everything that society is telling me that I'm supposed to be doing, or any of those things. You create the space to be the best you possible because you are the best you possible in this moment.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I just love this so much. When I read that, I thought, oh, that's going on my mirror. I'm going to write that on my, you guys all know I write stuff
and
on my bathroom mirror.
And I see it because I
yeah,
am in her
house.
Yeah,
because we live
together. So, I see it all very up close and personal.
Yeah, so.
But I love that.
Yeah, me too. Just regardless of what's happened this year, just take one moment to accept yourself and love yourself completely in this current state. And feel gratitude for who you are. Feel gratitude for yourself.
Yeah.
And all that you've done and all that you've been through and all that life has unfolded in this past year, and really just take some time to really appreciate yourself, you know, and then have appreciation for, you know, the, even the one person in your life that has been there for you.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, just before we close, as you're in your reflection of the year that's passed, one of my favorite practices in preparation for a year to come is to choose a word. We've talked about this a lot on the show, in the blogs, in workshops, all of the things. As kind of an alternative to resolutions, intentions always feel a bit more connected and aligned and internal rather than external. And so start to think about what your word is going to be for 2025. You know, let yourself reflect and ask yourself, what do you intend for the year ahead, and see what comes up. You know, it's a super interesting practice. We'll share our words in an episode ahead. But I've been surprised sometimes with what words have popped up for me and how they've played out. And so that's another fun way to, like, you know, interact with and engage with your life and yourself and be more playful, you know. Pick a word and have fun with it. And don't take it too seriously, like you said.
Well, it kind of becomes a little guiding light, or I like to think of it sometimes too as a lighthouse.
Yeah.
You kind of see that lighthouse out there in the distance. It's a beautiful practice. I'm incredibly grateful for you teaching me that years ago. It's something that you were
Many
talking
years
about because I know that you weren't keen on resolutions because,
well, you know,
we kind of beat ourselves up about
January
resolutions.
5th rolls around and yeah. It's like,
and we're done
out the window.
Yeah.
So
I love this practice. Thank you for teaching it.
It's something that even if you forget about in February, it'll pop back up. You know, the intention word might rise up, sink down, bob around, but like, it's a fun practice. So pick a word.
Well, intentions are powerful. Have we ever done an episode just on intentions? Probably.
Pretty sure we have.
Okay. They're powerful.
Doesn't sound like us to not have done one.
That's true. They're powerful. What you intend matters. You know, just like your values are powerful, they matter. They're what keep you going down one path or the other, going in alignment with who you are and going against who you are. That like our values matter. And I think intentions are the same. They're that important and that powerful because they keep us keep us geared into what it is we want. What is our deepest desire for life? And keep us really aligned with who we are. So intentions are powerful. So having a word that's kind of your lighthouse or your guiding light for the new year.
Theme.
The word is your theme. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank
Love
you.
It. Thanks, Mom. Thanks,
Michelle.
Sharing about your year and your experiences. Letting me share about your year and your experiences. And thank you all for listening and joining along with us on this last day of 2024. It's certainly been a joy and a pleasure and a privilege to spend this year with you all and to chat with you all and to have you in our community and to be connected with all of you through this show. And we're so grateful for all of you.
I could not be more grateful than to be here with you, Michelle, and having the privilege of this platform, but being with all of you and talking with you and feeling your energy and your love. And I love you very, very much.
Yes, we love you
all.
Thank
you for being here.
And happy new year. Thank you for listening and happy new year, everyone. Here's to a fulfilling 2025 with possibility and opportunity. Thank you so much again for listening. If you haven't yet, make sure that you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode as it dropped. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or future podcast topic requests, make sure that you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's the best way to stay in touch with us. If you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave us a review. We're so grateful and appreciative, and it's super helpful to the show when you do so. Check out the couple links in our show notes for our Substack. There's lots of fun stuff going on over there. And surprise, surprise, coming in 2025, we were going to be hosting an in-person retreat at Omega, May 23rd to 26th. There's also a link there in our show notes for more information and for registration information. One of the biggest requests that we have received is to do a retreat, and it's happening. So excited. So if you are called to check it out, check it out. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we will chat with you next week and next year, because as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.